Hey, friends. To be fair, life can feel like a mess with too little time. But on this podcast, we think through the challenges and make thoughtful, everyday decisions. My name is Amy Kay, and this is To Be Fair. Thank you so much for listening today. This is episode number 5 of To Be Fair, and today we're thinking about one easy way we can buy ethically made and grown products for ourselves, for our family, for any of our gifting needs. That one easy way is through fair trade. Fair trade is perfect for this podcast. In fact, it's like the name of the podcast is a playoff of it, To Be Fair, because here we are all about offering doable things to help ourselves live the lives we want to live. And this one is affordable and accessible and super easy. Any full fair trade store is filled with products that are handmade or grown by people who live in developing parts of the world, where workers are usually taken advantage of for the sake of company profit. But in fair trade, it is the exact opposite. The producers are treated fairly and well, like they are the focus. And there's a system in place to ensure that what is being said is done is actually being done. The producers are even paid half of their payment when an order is placed and the other half when the product ships. So they never have to get a predatory type of a loan or anything. So you and I could walk into a fair trade store or shop online from one and know that everything is sourced well. I think that's peace of mind. And the products are fantastic. It's not like we're doing like charity work or something to shop them. Like, I better drag myself to the fair trade site, see what I can force myself to buy for my niece's wedding or whatever. The products are made well. They are unique and wonderful in every way. And there are all kinds of products too. It's not just hippie stuff. It's like walking into a normal boutique type of a store. You might not even realize that you're in a fair trade store until you see pictures of the producers and can read their stories and start to feel like something is different in this place. I own a fair trade store, and that store is called Connected, and you are most welcome to go to connectedfairtrade.com to click around and get a feel of what a fair trade store has to offer. It would be better to come in and shop that way, but unfortunately there aren't fair trade stores around every corner. If you do live near a store, just please go in. It's better to be touching all the stuff to get the true feel of it. And it's good for the soul, I think, to walk amongst the gorgeous handmade products from just dozens and dozens of countries. And to taste the goodness, right? To taste it from the small farming co-ops. But you can easily click around too, right there from your phone or your computer at connectedfairtrade.com. I've been working with Fairtrade for over 10 years now, and I've been fortunate to get to travel to see producers who have a fair trade market and those from nearby villages who do not. I always try to see both. I want to see not only the people that I get to buy from, but like show me another community nearby that is very similar but doesn't have one, because I just want to see. I have truly seen the difference that fair trade outlets can make for people. It's the difference between kids in school and them not getting to go to school. It's between people having better health and not. It's between people being filled with hope and people who have little. Fair trade totally makes a difference for people. It is truly life-giving. So today, I thought I'd share 3 stories about fair trade products to illustrate the 9 principles that fair traders follow. I thought that would be more fun than just marching down a bulleted list of principles, but I will put those principles in the show notes if you'd like to just read down through them. First, for as long as we've been open in Illinois and Kansas, our staff's favorite products have been functional pieces like baby blankets and throws and bedspreads that are made from gorgeous fabrics with vibrant colors and patterns from India and Bangladesh. The fabric is actually recycled saris, like the flowing outfits that women wear, some women. Just like we have thrift stores that take the clothes that we grow out of or we are just ready to pass along, they in that part of the world too have places like that that receive their saris. And then fair trade co-ops go and buy those recycled cotton saris and teach women how to sew this long-running quilting stitch called kantha through 3 or 5 layers of saris. Some of the co-ops train women who are in the sex trade how to sew to try to help them out of that system. Other co-ops teach women who are poor and impoverished how to sew. Anytime any of these products in our store sell, it feels good because we know that we have tangibly and directly helped someone, along with sending a customer out with a gorgeous blanket or wall hanger, table runner, or scarf or whatever. We were at my sister's house for Easter this weekend, and she has two throws on her big couch and a table runner on an incidental table, all made out of recycled cotton saris. They looked stunning with all of her other home decor and their leather couch. And then Atticus, my 10-year-old, wanted to curl up on the couch for a while on Easter morning with a blanket, and I just loved getting to wrap him up in something that I knew a woman made halfway around the world and got paid fairly and had a safe working environment in which to do her work. She was treated well and with respect. She has dignity and hope because of her ongoing, consistent, solid work. I tucked my son in with a warm heart, for sure. We love jewelry in general at Connected and certainly appreciate sterling silver. Little studs, big hoop earrings, dainty chain, necklace, bulky crosses, whatever, we like it all. Unfortunately, a few years ago, the fair trade company from whom we bought our jewelry lost their membership to the Fair Trade Federation, which is our like nonprofit North American organization that has a process for making sure that the products really are fairly traded. Our store chooses to only buy products from these companies, members of the World Fair Trade Organization, or a social enterprise that works with chronically unemployed women in Denver, Colorado. It wasn't that this silver company turned like to the dark side or anything. They just sold out to a bigger company that wasn't fair trade. I trust that the company is still treating their producing partners well right now, but I'm a tad bit skeptical. I'm not confident that in the future they will continue to follow fair trade principles without a system to hold them accountable. What if the people who run that part of the company right now retire and the new folks who come in take a different way? I'd never know, and I'm not comfortable with ambiguity. We are retailers only because it is fair trade. So here I was. I love sterling silver. The store loves sterling silver. So I was in sort of a pickle. 10 or 11 days after I realized we were without a provider, we were on a plane ourselves to Taxco, Mexico, to try to build a relationship with a producer directly. It was sort of a bold move, but we were actually successful. Marco and his sister Veronica are now our producing partners. They are the only ones with whom we communicate regularly and receive product from directly. I don't speak Spanish, which is ridiculous given how much I've been around it, but I don't. So I use a translation app and we communicate slowly back and forth with a lot of pictures and sizing notations on the pictures and millimeters, of course. It's a process. It's quite a process. But we usually understand each other enough to get everything pretty much right. But here's a good example of me learning how to communicate more clearly. I asked if Marco could make a thin chained necklace with the state of Kansas on it as a short pendant. I wanted a little heart cut out where our stores are located. We went through a lot of pictures as Marco was understanding what I was asking for, and I thought at the end that we had it down perfect. And so I asked for half of the hearts to be cut out in like South Central Kansas, where our flagship store is located in Lindsborg, and half the hearts to be cut out in Northeastern Kansas, where our other store is located. When the box of silver arrived, which is definitely always exciting, I dug through it and found the necklaces, but the pendants weren't as we had developed them. The bottom half of the state was completely cut off. Like all of a sudden, Kansas was just like a sliver. It's like from I-70 north. The translation of my order to have half the hearts in one place and half the hearts in the other must have translated goofy. And since I just use a translation app and don't know the stinking language myself because I just struggle with languages, I did not realize it. Ugh, my goodness. So I'm just going to take those back down with me the next time I go see Marco, and he can melt them down and make them into something else for us. It's really not a big deal, but it just shows the complexity when working through two languages and across cultures. So I might also mention that I think Veronica thinks I'm crazy with some of the things that I ask for. In Mexico, dainty necklaces are not popular, and I swear that she tries to talk me out of them every single time I order. I continue to promise her that people up here like to layer necklaces or like simplicity with fine chokers. I can practically hear her tongue clicks of disapproval through her written words. But she sends them, sometimes on chains that are not quite as thin as we wanted, but they sell. And that's how fair trade works. We trust each other. We respect each other. We keep talking to each other. We keep figuring things out, even when there's half states that come in and we realize that our communication was not clear. We try to mesh market needs with the producer's cultural heritage and their perspective too. The last favorite product I'll share about today is the rock that we love around Connected. There are sculptures that are family or couple oriented, and there are whimsical, colorful animals. There are little bowls and big bowls and stone boxes, and there are hearts. We love the hearts. These sweet stone hearts fit in the palm of an adult's hand and come in bright colors. Many people buy them to give as gifts because they're only $3 and they're just so great. Some of the hearts come with etched words on them and others are just plain. Jenny, our friend who owns Venture Imports, which is a fair trade company, has been working with this same group of stone artists for many years now. When we lived in Illinois, it was one of my favorite things to do to run up to Chicago and stay with Jenny so I could be around her and play in her warehouse. I would literally turn on jock jams and dance around her warehouse through all the stone. There was beautiful rock everywhere. And sometimes she had things that came in as samples, and those were super fun to see because I didn't get to have those in my store. Sometimes she would tell stories about her travels in Kenya while we would share a meal together. Jenny has really white skin, and her partners in Kenya have really black skin. One time she rode with a couple of the men to the workshop. They got pulled over by police because, obviously, a white woman wouldn't be in business with a black man. She must have been kidnapped. Jenny assured them she wasn't kidnapped. She, in fact, was their business partner. But then she had to pay the police people a bribe to let them travel on. Here's a kicker for me. She knew she would probably have to do this. So she had a little money tucked away in different pockets of her outfit so that she was ready to pay off the police. She could empty her pocket and then say to them that she had given them all she had. Look, an empty pocket. She had knew all of this because she had traveled to visit her artisan partners many times, and this was not a unique situation. They communicate through the year, of course, but she physically goes to see them as well. That is what fair traders do, because relationships matter in fair trade, and trust matters, and that ongoing, continual market access is the difference for people in the long haul to alleviate poverty. I love it when Jenny comes back from her trips because she brings back new pictures and videos of her time with the artisans. Videos are really the best because of the way the rock sculptures are made. The men take chunks of kisi stone, or soapstone it's commonly called, that are mined, like big old chunks of rock, and then they chisel them down to the sculpture's basic shape with machetes, like big machetes. It's always amazing to me to see that the guys still have all of their fingers as they're wielding these things around. They don't actually have to use a lot of force when they chisel because the stone isn't very dense, but still, I mean, there's a lot of machetes moving around in these workshop areas. It's really something. Then the women wet sand the pieces to make them smooth, and the pieces are either done at that point or then they're painted with vegetable dyes or paints. It is all really, really neat, and the products are beautiful. So even if you didn't even know all of that backstory, the sculptures are gorgeous. We really love the hearts in our store and have taken to etching some of our own sayings on them ourselves. We have some sassy, badass hearts that we love. We etch bold, beautiful, badass, or I love your badassery. I blogged about how the badass hearts came to be if you're interested. I won't go into it now. But anyway, people ask us to do all kinds of custom orders. We've had lots of custom badasses. We've also made hearts for a college prayer breakfast and a wedding party and lots of sweet birthday and anniversary gifts. There's this very sweet counselor in a nearby town who has a bowl of hearts on her desk, and she tells her clients to take whatever heart that they need. So she has hope or many other words like that. Just wonderful things that people do with these hearts. There even was, this is a funny one though, there was Badass Texan that came through our online store one time. That one tickled me. But it's all awesome. Like, the hearts are fun to give. And it's good for the makers, right? It's good for them because then they sell more hearts if we sell more badass hearts. So there's just wins all around. Now, I haven't talked yet about how environmental stewardship is important in fair trade. All through the market chain, the intent is to use good environmental practices. But good practices might mean different things in different places. For instance, I got to go to El Salvador to learn about coffee farming a number of years ago, and I went with a fair trade company who had been working with these particular farmers since the 1980s. And I've been buying from this company since I started working with fair trade, so it was a really awesome trip to get to take. It was fascinating because I've only been around row crops and big machinery, and coffee cherries are completely manual and labor intensive and just so different. So anyway, developing countries don't often have strong infrastructures. Maybe because of natural disasters or wars or corrupt government, any number of things. Services just aren't typically available. There's nowhere for, say, trash to go, let alone a way to recycle. So here's the story. A small group of us were staying with individual farmers and then coming together during the day at the co-op. The ladies would fix us lunch every day and then put the food in styrofoam containers. Now, styrofoam is basically a cuss word for people who care about the environment, so it was a little jolting for some of us to see what we were using. But we certainly did not say anything, right? Because, like, how did we know what they even have available to use? And we were their guests, and it certainly wasn't our place to stomp in and tell them what they should or shouldn't be using. So we ate this wonderful food out of this styrofoam, and then we threw away our trash in a black trash bag, just like we use here throughout all the days. Then towards the end of the visit, we noticed a pile of our trash on the hillside blowing about. A girlfriend and I, we thought that the bag must have broken on the way to their trash place. But then we realized that they don't have a trash place. Well, I mean, they kind of did. It was the side of the hill, right? So our styrofoam lunch containers were out there blowing in the breeze. And our hosts said that at some point someone might go burn it. Oh man, I think our eyes were collectively pretty big. But, and also, and this is super embarrassing, but I feel like it illustrates some things. I was on my period, of course, throughout this trip, of course. So in that trash were some of the things that I had discarded, and they were just out there for everyone to behold. And yeah, there's definitely more to this story. You remember that I can't speak Spanish. So when I was at my host family's house for the first night, I didn't want to ask my older, big white guy American to translate my question of where should I put my tampon to the young ladies of the home. So I bashfully tried to ask with my limited Spanish and like showing my box of tampons, like what I was supposed to do with these things in the outhouse that my family used. It was just a hole in the ground with a sort of a seat over it. The girls looked kind of amused and told me to just drop it in the ground. I was like, Now I didn't have environmentally sound tampons on this trip. They were full out plastic applicators, but it didn't matter. I mean, I tried to like describe that to the ladies. Like, okay, I didn't open a package, but I did the best I could, but it did not matter. It wouldn't have mattered what I said to them. The ladies just said to drop it on in there. I mean, there was nothing else to do with the trash. I am totally holding my head in my hands telling the story because it is so embarrassing, maybe one of the most embarrassing things in my life. But I think that it shows like very clearly how we have different circumstances in different parts of the world, right? What we are able to do to limit our damage to the environment in developed countries is very different than what they are able to do in rural developing countries. So we all just do what we can and give each other grace about that which we can't, and then like try to cool our cheeks when thinking of how embarrassing times are when we're learning those lessons. Okay, the last thing I think I'll share is about how important safe working conditions and the rights of children are in fair trade. There is no forced labor in this business model. Everyone participates in decision-making, and fair traders try to eliminate any discrimination based on anything like gender, class or caste or physical ability or color. This is the goal. Our family was able to travel to Guatemala 5 years ago to meet the producers who make our gorgeous Guatemalan jewelry and ceramics and loomed fabrics. And there, the indigenous women mostly worked on backstrap looms, the kind that you kind of kneel on this little mat and weave the thread over manually and then pull this wooden piece down to tighten it down and make the gorgeous fabric. In their culture, it was the men who usually got to sew, like to use the sewing machine, because it was more honorable to get to sit up on a chair to work on a machine. Very different than here, eh? Now, I think in a perfect world, both men and women would be using backstrap looms, and both men and women would be using the sewing machines. And maybe they will get to that someday. And, you know, it's all a process. But what fair trade does is try to provide the environment in which that can happen more quickly, because everyone is affirmed and validated, and children just aren't allowed to work as laborers at all. I mean, it's just not okay. I swear that I could go on and on about fair trade because I think it is just so good. I won't though, it's time to wrap it up. I just think that fair trade is God's way of doing business. Like, that's the bottom line. Fair trade is God's way of doing business. The focus is on the poor and the oppressed. Ongoing, just business directly helps the most vulnerable of people. And we need or want good stuff. So their good stuff helps us. It just makes sense to me that we should look at fair trade first when we need to buy something. And if it's not available through a fair trade market, then we need to look to local artists or local farmers. And if what we need can't be found through those markets, then it is at last resort that we look at conventional stores. And then we give ourselves grace when we buy something from a sweatshop. All that. That is being a conscientious consumer. Thanks be to God that we have the options and that they are so easy now to access with the internet. So do go click around on our website at connectedfairtrade.com. My friends who own fair trade stores mostly have websites too. Click around here and there and be impressed with the products from the world with me. Thanks for listening this week, and I hope you'll be back, my friends. Until then, take good care. My name is Amy Kay, and this has been To Be Fair.